Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural Simpleton podcast. My name is Daniel James. I am based in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And joining me, as always, will be Scott Gall. And where are you, Scott?
Daniel, I'm on the, technically in the north of Berlin, Germany, of course. And I'll just take you to task on that straight away, as always. First podcast, Daniel.
Look, if you're going to pull me up on minor technicalities like that every podcast, Scott, this is going to be quite a laborious thing to do. This is supposed to be an entertaining and fulfilling thing for both of us, and hopefully other people will be able to get something out of this as well. But if you're going to be, you know, I know you're in Germany, but a fucking podcast Nazi every time we broadcast, I'm going to have second thoughts about this.
Point taken, Daniel. Let's proceed.
Yes, well, on that wonderful introduction, this is indeed the very first podcast of The Simpleton. This is something that we'll be looking to bring to you every week when time permits. We know that we want to build a loyal fan base and making sure that we do these things on a regular basis as part of that. This podcast is about the world. It's more than me and Scott. It's about what it is that makes the world tick. And I think that, Scott, you and I are both highly qualified to be able to explain that to the listeners.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've just summed it up there in a nutshell, Daniel. I couldn't think of two more appropriate people to do this thing than us, you know?
I'm not blowing your own trumpet or anything, but I think you're absolutely correct.
Just got to be honest, Daniel. No false modesty here. The listeners will learn that we'll take it all here. We'll take the good, we'll take the bad. We're pretty much anti-censorship, Daniel. But we're not going to engage in false modesty.
No, absolutely. We're very much fact and fact orientated. And what you said about censorship, Scott, completely fucking right. Without further ado, Scott. Shall we move into our first item, the world wrap-up?
The world wrap-up, Daniel. Yes, of course, we'll start with Europe. The big story is the crisis, the financial crisis, Daniel. And look, I'll be frank here. I know so little about finance that I'd be as useless as your standard mainstream media economist, the difference being that I'm honest about it. But in a nutshell, Daniel... In a nutshell, Daniel, recent events, over $100 billion going to Spain to bail out banks, an election in Greece yesterday that could have ramifications regarding that country's place in the Eurozone, storm clouds on the horizon for Italy. Daniel...
It sounds more like a weather forecast, Scott, than an analysis of the European economy, if I may just say so.
Yeah, a point taken on that too, Daniel. And like a weather forecast, Daniel, to coin a lame cliche, my friend, there are storm clouds on the horizon. That's what I hear anyway. Wouldn't know if I was being lied to, know nothing about finance, like I said. But here's my little tip, Daniel.
Oh, yes.
The status quo one way or the other has to change. There's a lot of talk, double talk, blah, 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 goes on and on. Look, Daniel, in a nutshell, I think the result will be Germany, the nation, pretty much managing to do in a financial way what they couldn't do with two massive armies. Your thoughts?
Well, let me just explain that sentence to the listeners, Scott. For those of you who aren't aware, there were two substantial wars during last century in which Germany as a nation were quite heavily involved. The basic premise of both those, how shall we say, skirmishes was that Germany wanted to conquer Europe. And wanted to expand that conquering in the Second World War to the rest of the world. What Scott was actually saying about there having to be some sort of impasse with the status quo vis-a-vis Germany is that with the swish of a pen, with the click of a transactional button, it would turn out that Germany will be actually able to have the rest of Europe as its bitch without having to lift one firearm in anger. Is that what you're saying, Scott?
You summed it up succinctly, Daniel.
And was my history correct there about the world wars? There was two of them, I believe.
I think you put it well, heavily involved. There are differing viewpoints about who was at fault and how much and so on, but heavily involved is right. So I think you summed it up there, Daniel. And my little tip, watch for the status quo to end in quite a spectacular manner, whether it be complete unification, a United States of Europe under one all-powerful leader, or something of that nature.
Look, that's something to look forward to. And as we know, those of us who know our European history, as we both clearly do, Scott, know that, you know, all's well that ends well. And given European history, I don't really see any cause for alarm if this whole financial crisis thing goes a little bit pear-shaped.
And I share your optimism, Daniel. If there would be a precedent, say, of things getting out of control in Europe, politicians rising who would maybe exploit the situation for their own means, if there would be such a precedent, then maybe there would be cause for alarm, Daniel. But given the lack of such a precedent, yeah, let's just keep a lid on things and stay optimistic.
Yeah, I was going through the history books that I have with me here in the studio earlier today. I looked from cover to cover through all these European history books, especially the 20th century one, and I can't find a precedent about some maniacal, charismatic dictator coming along and trying to conquer Europe for their own devious means. So, look, I think you're right, Scott. Let's just keep a lid on it and not get too concerned.
Yeah, yeah. And I think enough said about that, Daniel. So what else have we got?
Just happy to inform our listeners, and I think that we've touched on all the right bases there. Look, we're talking about New Europe. May I talk about a remnant of old Europe for a second, Scott? Would that be okay with you?
Please proceed, Daniel.
Well, as many of us know, many of us who are actually her servants know that last week there was a massive to-do about celebrating the Diamond Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II, the Queen of Australia, the Queen of Britain, and, as it turns out, the Queen of Gibraltar. And you might be asking, Scott, why the fuck is he raised Gibraltar as an issue when talking about the Queen's Jubilee? Well, let me tell you, Scott, is it all right if I speak on your behalf, by the way?
Please do. I feign ignorance. Well, I don't even feign it. I plead ignorance on this. I have no real idea about Gibraltar. Please proceed.
Well, as part of the Diamond Jubilee celebrations last week, as a huge fuck you to Spain and North Africa, the Brits projected a huge image of the Queen on the Rock of Gibraltar itself, Scott. Now, those who know the history, as I'm sure all our informed listeners do, know that there's been a little bit of, to-ing and fro-ing between Spain and Britain about who actually has jurisdiction over the Rock of Gibraltar. And it's been a massive blue. Let me just put it that way. And it stems all the way back to 1713 with the Treaty of Utrecht, which I think I've pronounced perfectly. What it shows, Scott, is that while the British Empire fell into the seas of history, about halfway through last century, what it goes to show is they're still willing to give the finger to other imperial powers and lesser powers, such as those situated in North Africa. In many cases, that beautiful night in which the Queen's image, tiara and handbag in tow, were projected onto the Rock of Gibraltar. Those fleeing war-torn North Africa and the poverty of many states, failed states, some of them, in North Africa, as they crossed the tumultuous sea that is the Mediterranean, their first glimpse of Europe would have been an old lady with a tiara and a handbag. And if that doesn't give you something to aim for, Scott, I don't know what does. I think it also supports their prowess in projection technology. I think that, you know, they've been at the forefront of many a rock extravaganza, and this time they've actually used a rock. So that's breaking new ground. But look, nothing like a bit of passive aggression from the Brits. And let's just say that's all they've really got. Look, I don't have a thing against the Poms. You know, I know I am an Australian. My mum's British. I hate her, but it doesn't matter that it doesn't matter that she's British. I'm not gonna misconstrue that hatred to the rest of the British people. But you know, sometimes it's better just to let sleeping dogs lie, Scott. Just let sleeping dogs fucking lie.
I hear what you're saying. Passive, aggressive, was that the term you used?
Passive aggression. You could even say passive oppression. But in either ways, like, fuck you, Spain. Scott, you wanted to talk about the creep of the nanny state.
Daniel, yes, indeed I did. In light of that storm in a teacup in Australia over the last couple of weeks, those Olympic swimmers being viciously...
Nick Darcy and the other dude, I can't remember his name.
Yes, that's the pair, being pretty much quite rabidly vilified from the top of the establishment down for doing essentially nothing.
Could you explain a little bit, Scott, about what they're being vilified for exactly? Just for some of our less informed listeners.
Fair enough, Daniel. The pair of them were, I don't know, they're in America on a holiday, I presume, in a gun shop. And posed for the camera, third party was there, holding guns, not breaking the law. If it was breaking the law, think of how many people would be arrested from Hollywood, or recreational hunters, blah, 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 goes on and on. Pretty much posing with guns, smiling. Hey, we're in a gun shop, we're posing with these guns. That's it, nothing more.
My understanding was that yes, they were in a gun shop or a shooting range, and they posed holding a series of weapons, and that has resulted them being sanctioned by the Australian Olympic Committee for some breach. Now these boys have a bit of a track record, but bloody hell, Scott, if you're in America. Don't you do what the Romans do? Have I mixed metaphors there, Scott? Have I mixed metaphors?
You've mixed them up. You've mixed them up, Daniel, but it's coming through loud and clear. Yeah, absolutely right. We in America do what the Romans do. As you said, they didn't break the law. Just, Daniel, think of all the people that have vilified them. Are they saying they never watch a Hollywood movie with violence in it for their own amusement? Is that what they're saying? Because if that's what they're saying, then they're liars.
They are lies because it's hard to believe that someone on Earth hasn't seen Chuck Norris in full flight. That's what I'll say.
That was going to be my next line. So good. You've pretty much summed that one up. But moving on, Daniel.
Yes.
I looked at some cases of the nanny state of late, which
when you're I very say passionate. Nanny state, you're very passionate about this nanny state issue, aren't you?
Passionate, Daniel, and when I say nanny state, I'm talking pretty much about Western civilization, not only America. Recently came across a case, however, in America of a grandfather taking two of his grandkids for a hike against their will. No one died, no one got seriously ill, but it was against their will. He got over 2 years in prison, Daniel.
Just the 2 years?
It was 2.5, a lot of which I believe he's already served, so he'll be out within a year. But come on, Daniel. Taking children in his family for a hike against their will. Well.
Scott.
Yes.
Where's your sense of wonder?
At what, Daniel?
Well, surely, Scott, you aren't that old to remember what childhood was like, are you?
It's fading, Daniel, but I have some recollections.
Well, were you ever asked to do something by, a guardian during your childhood that you didn't want to do?
Often, Daniel. It's part of the situation.
All right, let me cut you off there. And during those periods where you were performing tasks, meaningful or menial, that you were asked to do by a supervisory adult, did you not wish from time to time that you could send them behind bars?
No, Daniel.
Answer the question. Answer the question, Scott.
Yes. There was resentment, Daniel, but no, I don't recall. I don't recall that particular wish, no, Daniel.
Well, maybe that's what where you and I are slightly different, Scott, because I, if I had to eat one more Brussels sprout than necessary back in '86, I was going to fucking tear that whole place apart. And the crazy thing about it is that I would have been the one that gone to prison and not them. Them. I won't even mention their names. They know who they are.
Point taken, Daniel. The times have changed. So maybe just 20 years too late for you, Daniel. I'll put it that way.
What state in America was this? Do we know?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I can give some specifics. He was a 45-year-old male, an extremely young grandfather who had five children to five different mothers. Okay. That's not the point. That's not the point.
Look, he's anyone can make a mistake five times.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, we cast no judgment on him.
We cast no judgment.
Trailer parks, or his five wives.
Correct, Daniel. Correct. Moving it along though a little bit, yes. I found myself at what some could see as or term as ground zero of the nanny state movement in Sweden, Daniel.
I thought the Swedes were libertarian, Scott. I thought that anything goes there.
Well, just tune into this, Daniel. Have a listen. Uh-huh. A political party in Sweden, left party. Not taking political sides here. If it was the right party, I'd say it also. But it,
but we know the sort. We know the sort.
Yeah, we know the sort. Yes, yes. I haven't done my research exactly. I don't know whether it was on a local level or a national level, but they've motioned, and let me say I'm not joking, that the act of standing during urination should be made a criminal offence, citing hygiene and concerns over men's health as their reasons for this. A criminal offence, Daniel.
Scott, before I leap into this and take the Swedish authorities to task, I would like to personally congratulate you for dragging this podcast into the gutter less than 23 minutes into its inaugural broadcast. So thank you for that.
Yes, no problem. Interesting, Daniel, that you mention being dragged into the gutter, because apparently this issue has been around longer than just this year. I was doing a bit of research and...
You research these things often, Scott?
No, Daniel, not often, but you stumble across them every now and again. But anyway, a university professor, Daniel, from a Western land, I don't know which one, might well be USA.
So if I Google a university professor from a Western land, I'll be able to track this bloke down?
You'll get it. Bingo, Daniel, you'll get it. There'll be numerous entries there. And anyway, Daniel, he was quoted, and I agree with the man's point of view. He was speaking out against this creeping nannyism, for lack of a better term. But this was his quote, Daniel, back in 2009. Men scatter urine not so much during the actual urination as during the shaking off that follows. As a result... forcing men to sit down while emptying their bladders will serve little purpose, since no man wants to shake himself off while remaining seated on the toilet. End of quote, Daniel. Now, I don't by any stretch equate education with intelligence. There can be highly educated people who are as thick as two planks. I've seen them in my life. But there is prestige associated with... being a university professor, and has this man maybe let himself be dragged into the mud a little bit, Daniel, such a discussion, even using terms such as shaking off? What do you think?
Well, Scott, earlier in this podcast, I think it was some 2 minutes ago, I promised that I would take the Swedish authorities to task. But before I do that, I think you're absolutely right. You know, you can have all the fancy degrees in the world. You can be a very learned individual. But if you're remembered through academic circles and through the mainstream populace as the guy who invented the term shaking off to basically attack a piss law in Sweden, I think it's time for you to perhaps spread your horizons a little bit and, you know, maybe take on deeper philosophical issues than where one drips. You know what I'm saying, Scott?
I hear what you're saying, Daniel. Another question I'd like to shoot at you.
Oh, by all means.
Could we see the day quite soon when, with eyebrows high on the forehead, serious looks on the faces, the Swedish parliament could be debating a urinary tax?
Well, I'm sure it would be a mass debate, Scott.
Daniel.
Did I just say that?
You said that, and that was spontaneous.
Stop me now.
I hear what you're saying. The spontaneity, Daniel, I'll give you high marks for that.
Yeah, turn it up, me.
I hear what you're saying, Daniel.
Look, back to this very serious issue. I think such a proposed reform requires high scrutiny. I think it requires all the democratic mechanisms at the Swedish people's command to make sure that this hideous proposal is knocked on the head before it even had a chance to stand up. And while we're talking about standing
up, Daniel, you're using all sorts of puns there. I resent that. Knock it on the head, stand up.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it out of the gutter a bit, please, Daniel. Look, three in a row now.
I wasn't sure whether you'd pick on that, but touche, I suppose. But you'd have to be pretty hard up not to take this lying down.
Daniel, I think we'll
let's just move on.
We'll move on. Yes, we'll move on.
World sport. World sport.
Okay.
Sorry, I got a little bit excited there.
It was a good lead in. The old world sport, world sport. Twice.
I thought it was a seamless segue. I really did. I think we're getting the hang of this podcasting caper, to be perfectly frank.
getting the hang of it, yeah.
But we here at the Simpleton Podcast would like to take the tentative move from news to sport. Scott, I understand that you'd like to start us off here with the sporting cauldron of South Asia, where the eyes of the world have been throwing more and more over the past few weeks. Scott, what do you got for us?
Yes, Daniel, correct. We'll start off in that part of the world, in the Himalayan nation of Bhutan, where it seems, Daniel, the sport of pundal, historically...
How do you pronounce that?
Pundal.
Can I just say it one more time?
Pundal.
Thank you. Go on.
As you know, Daniel, it's historically been the domain of laymen in the kingdom.
Of course.
Bloody laymen.
Sorry, mate, I'm interrupting. Fucking go on.
That's all right. That's all right. We'll put it down to the time delay. So, Daniel, it's been experiencing a surge of interest of late. Now, any sports fan worth their salt knows the kingdom's participation in international sport pretty much historically been limited to archery, a number of Olympic pursuits, soccer.
They are gun archers, Scott. They are fucking gun archers. That's all I'll say. But go on.
Cricket as well. Could you remind me to get back to what you just said in a minute? I'd like to finish my little blurb here and then get back to what you just said about being gun archers.
I'll let you get off your soapbox in a minute and get back to me on that, sure.
Okay. But now, Daniel, a recent analysis of internet traffic associated with sports in the country shows that inquiries about pundal have spiked sharply in recent weeks.
Oh, yeah.
A trend that apparently shows no signs of abating after the Wikipedia site on the sport, pundal, recently received upward of a dozen hits in a single week.
What? 12?
It was 11, upward of a dozen, rounding up.
11. Scott, that's hardly viral, wouldn't you think? That's not really the international community taking a massive or having a massive appreciation of Pundo.
I appreciate, Daniel, your skepticism. You're an investigative journalist. You're doing your job. excuse me, I've got a mosquito buzzing around me, swishing him away, him or her. Yes, hear what you're saying, but the arrows, Daniel, I'm not talking archer arrows, no little puns, please. The arrows showing... the arrows showing whether it was an upward tick or a downward tick were clearly up for Pundu. I think number one on the list was the Olympic Committee in Bhutan with up to, I think, a dozen and a half, half a dozen.
That's just gone crazy, but go on.
Yeah, what I'm saying is there are sports higher on the list, but none had a bigger arrow pointing upwards than Bhutan. So appreciate the skepticism, but don't mind my optimism.
Look, it's been a while since I myself have been to the kingdom, Scott. But for our listeners, could you please explain what the sport of Pundo entails? Thank you.
Daniel, I was wanting to get, you neglected your duties. You were going to remind me to get back to a certain issue. You were talking about the kingdom's archers being gun archers. I admit...
Renowned for it.
I admit I didn't know that 1 week ago. I had no idea until I did a bit of research for this podcast. You were saying that in a rather emphatic manner, as if... It's something that should be taken for granted. Don't mind me asking, but did you know that a week ago, that there were gun archers in that country? Did you know it a week ago?
Look, Scott, I think it was common knowledge amongst a number of people across the globe. So, you know, they are...
Sports fans.
They are renowned for their bow and arrowing. What more can I say, Scott? I mean, why are you asking, can I ask?
Oh, Daniel, simply so. You were saying it very emphatically as if it's something that should be taken for granted. I was admitting I had no idea a week ago. I was just wondering if that was the case with you.
Well, Scott, you know, I don't want to take it to task, but, you know, some of us live without our heads buried in the fucking sand, right? I don't want to show any disrespect towards you, but maybe if you got your head out of the fucking sand and paid attention to what's going on in the fucking world instead of this Pundo.
In a sporting sense. You mean in a sporting sense?
What other sense would I be talking about?
You're not, a person's not dumb just because they're not a sporting fanatic, you know? That's what I'm saying.
Well, where we grew up, Scott, that was indeed the case. But all I'm saying is, mate, smell the flowers while you can and watch out for those barren arrows because those Bhutanis are fucking nuts with the archery.
They're nuts. They're nuts, Daniel. And Pundo. So what is it? Could you give the listeners a bit of a rundown?
Sure, Scott. Thanks for the question. Thanks for the throw. Speaking of throwing, of course, Pundo is a layman's sport in which, let's just call it a mobile version of shot putting. Can we call it that, Scott?
Daniel, can I be honest with you about something?
I hear you ruffling through your notes as though you're searching for something, Scott.
Daniel, can I be completely frank with you about something?
That's what this podcast is about, Scott. Shoot.
Yeah. About less than 2 hours ago, we attempted what should have been this podcast. It was so woeful that we dropped it and tried again with this one. And in that initial fail dry run, you were referring to Pundo as more of a archery type offshoot. Now you're comparing it to more of a shot put sort of thing, which I initially claimed. Which is it, Daniel?
Scott, as you and I both know, we're re-recording this because there was a major technical glitch. Had nothing to do with our performance. And I stand by what I just said a few moments ago, and that Pundo is very much a form of mobile shot putting. Nothing to do with archery, Scott. Nothing to do with archery whatsoever. Even though the Pundonians may also
Daniel, let me butt in. There's no nationality associated with Pundo. It's a sport. There are no Footballonians. So the term Pundonians, you know.
Scott, you can split continue, please. You can split hairs all you want. But I stand by what I said. Pundo is actually a mobile form of shot putting, has nothing to do with archery. And that's quite frankly, that's all I want to fucking say about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore, Scott. I think the listeners are getting bored with this.
I think they're getting bored with it. So we'll just confirm you were barking up the wrong tree in our failed dry run. Now you've set the record straight and you're sticking by that.
Well, Scott, sorry, before you go on, only you and I will ever know the answer to that. Okay, so it's my word against yours. So carry on with your little sporting sentence. You know, I'm engrossing you here. I'm giving you all the time in the world to talk about your trivial little sport matters. You've tried to make me look like a fool, Scott. I don't appreciate it. So just get on with your next story and shut the fuck up.
I hear you, Daniel. I will. I'll move on. Enough babble from the both of us. So, how I would like to conclude my little look at Pundo is that, Daniel, to grow a tree, you need a seed. To grow a plant, you need a seed. You didn't go from the inception of soccer, the invention of soccer, to the next day having the World Cup, big business. All I'm saying is keep an eye on Pundo.
I don't even know what that fucking means, Scott, but I think what you're trying to say is you feel as though Pundo could become, if not a major international sport, it could actually become the major international sport. Am I correct there, Scott?
Yes.
Well, thanks for that insight, Scott. That was an excellent sports report. I think that our listeners will feel so much more fulfilled for knowing all about Pundo and the mighty kingdom of Bhutan's fascination with it.
No problems, Daniel. So that's sport. We could go on about the European title, but, you know, you can go anywhere to find out more about that.
Absolutely.
So where to from here?
Look, I think it's time that we move on to our listeners' letters, Scott. I know this is our Are you getting the letters out and prepared?
Yes.
You're pulling them out of their stamped envelopes. That's very good.
Yes, indeed.
Look, we value what the Simpleton podcast listeners have to say.
Daniel, we've forgotten something.
Oh,
A little bon voyage. We promised the boys earlier, didn't we?
Yeah, I suppose so, mate. I didn't think it would be of that much interest to the listening community, but by all means, look, I know you wanted to give a shout-out to the Bertoluga Football Club on their end-of-season trip. Go for it.
That's correct, Daniel. To Ben and the rest of the boys of the Bertoluga FC in Northern Victoria, we wish you bon voyage and a safe trip. The boys are set to embark on their annual mid-season trip to Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso. It gets back to what we were saying earlier, Daniel. When in wherever you are, act like the Romans. Burkina Faso is no exception. So, boys, don't forget, great to have a good time. What happens in Burkina Faso stays there. But my little tip for you before
it's a landlocked country, Scott, so it's more than likely that whatever happens there will actually stay there. But go on.
Yes, I take your point. But what I want to say to the boys is a bit more serious, Daniel. Boys, don't forget to check the DFAT site before heading off on the do's and don'ts regarding that country and conduct in that country. Check the DFAT site, and then, boys, everything should be right and you should have a good time and have a good trip.
Look, Scott, I know all about Burkina Faso, or the Faz, as those of us who have been there like to refer to it. And so I know what a blast those brave young men are going to have in that landlocked West African country, a former French colony, if I'm not mistaken. But let me just say, fellas, have a great time. Do what the Romans do and come back, you know, come back with a bit of dignity. Come back with a bit of dignity, because there's a lot of things you can do there that can, well, what can I say? Give you a long last sense of grief within yourself.
Well put.
And well put. Across the group. So have a great time, boys. Have a great time. Thanks for that, Scott.
No worries, Daniel. Little tidbit for you. It's one of those Sydney Canberra things.
Oh yes.
I mentioned with confidence Ouagadougou, the capital city of Burkina Faso. I think I referred to it as the capital, did I?
You did.
I don't know.
I wasn't listening.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough, Daniel. It's one of those Sydney Canberra things. You know, you ask the average foreigner what's the capital of Australia.
Canberra.
They say Sydney. Yeah. Yeah, but you know you live there. You live there. Okay. They tend to say Sydney. You ask an American what's the capital of Australia, they'll say Berlin or Vienna, maybe Vienna, something like that. But the normal foreigner, Daniel.
And there's a lot of them, let's be honest.
There are a lot of them out there. Burkina Faso sort of fits into that category, Daniel. Did you know Ouagadougou was the capital? Because I did a little test before the show. I asked just several people I knew. Five or six people. What's the capital city of Burkina Faso? All of them, Daniel, said Bobo Dioulasso, of course, the southwestern city. And now I had to correct them, Ouagadougou.
Yeah, I asked people earlier today at my travails where Ouagadougou is. Mm. And they said in it was a medium-sized centre in southern New South Wales. So I would suggest that the Burkina Faso tourist board needs to get its ass off the couch, or its ass off the couch, or the couch off its ass. I don't know which one it is. It can be either or, I suppose.
Yep.
And really get out there and promote their country, because at the moment, people, the average person in the street knows fuck all about it.
The average person on the street, Daniel, still thinks it goes by the name Upper Volta. So
that hasn't been the case since 1958, Scott.
I'll double check. I have the feeling it sounded emphatic. I have the feeling you plucked that out of thin air.
No, it was emphatic.
Pardon?
Emphatic, absolutely emphatic. I'm totally 100% correct.
Oh, all right. I take your word for it, but I'll just confirm that for my own private sake. I'll confirm that after this podcast.
Yeah, send me a text.
Okay.
Can I now move on to listeners' letters, Scott?
Please. If that's okay.
Look, it's our first podcast, but we've been fortunate enough to receive a few letters already. And as you heard from the rustling earlier on, Scott has received them. And he's facsimile a few across to me. But here's a reminder to you, dear listener, that if you want to get in contact with us or you have any feedback on the podcast itself, we very much would appreciate your correspondence. So if you have anything to say about the podcast at all, you can send your correspondence to contact, all one word, at thesimpleton.com.au. And we'll, in most instances, probably reply to it if the feedback is of a very honest and structurally critical nature, indeed of an analytical nature. We will perhaps broadcast it on the podcast itself. But that email address again was contact@thesimpleton.com.au. Scott.
Daniel, let me just butt in. We don't need our... we don't need to be amused. We don't need our fancies tickled. We don't mind a bit of criticism to go with the compliments, as long as it's of a constructive nature. I think you more or less said that. I was just backing it up. It doesn't have to be necessarily something you think we'd like.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. That was great. Look, I don't care about whether our fancies are tickled or not. But Scott, you have the first letter, which I've got a copy. So, do you mind if I give it a read?
You want to read out the first one? Go ahead, please, Daniel. By all means.
Okay. First letter comes from Barton Pickering of Montserrat, and Barton writes: "Splendid work on the initial podcast, guys. You've won yourselves a repeat listener." Well, thank you, Barton. Isn't that fantastic? And isn't it fantastic that we received that even though we haven't finished the first podcast?
That's fantastic. Everyone loves a pat on the back, Daniel. We won't pretend that it's water off a duck's back. It's
Barton's nice. Obviously nice. A person of great vision and integrity. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, okay. Well, Scott, you have the second letter?
You want me to read out the next one? The next one is from Porter Stuckel of New South Wales.
In Australia.
It's quite... of course, New South Wales in Australia. Porter writes, it's quite long. You ready for it? Oh, here it is. Here it is. I was urged by an associate to listen in to this transmission, so I gave it an, albeit reluctant, shot. This is a mistake I will not repeat. I've worked for over 30 years in regional broadcasting, and I know talent when I come across it. What you two moth-eaten hacks offered up here was hoopla. Yeah, hoopla of the lowest grade. I feel hoodwinked, Daniel and Scott, hoodwinked. My goodwill has been violated. You can go. You can both go to hell, and you can shove it. I've had enough. That was what Porter wrote in of New South Wales. Daniel, don't necessarily agree with his sentiments or all of them, but welcome the input.
I tell you what, Scott, you don't hear the term hoodwink too much these days.
I've only heard it once, Daniel. That's from the official government website of the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea. It's the only time I've heard it. Never heard it in any other context.
This podcast is driven on facts, not conspiracy. But given that the only time you've ever heard hoodwinked used in any form of transcription was from the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, I think I can go out on a limb and suggest that Mr. Starkel of New South Wales could well indeed be a North Korean operative in our midst.
Daniel, the jury's out. The jury's out. It could be pointing that way. We'd probably need one or two more pieces of evidence to confirm, but I think you're probably right.
Okay, well, thanks for your feedback, Porter. Much appreciated. Very constructive advice there. I hope you have a great time continuing to be a communist traitor in the midst of the Australian community. But no hard feelings.
Daniel, if we only read out or respond positively to things that tickle our fancies or stroke our egos, I reckon that goes against our general anti-censorship tenor. You know?
It goes against. I'll grant you that, Scott. And I think it goes against the very detailed and strenuous code of ethics that you and I wrote up before we started to go on with this venture. So all of that won't be available on our website. It'll just be for Scott and I. But bear in mind, listener, we take this very seriously, and our very detailed and long code of ethics that we've sent through our lawyers to each other. Will stand. So thank you, Scott. You got us out of a bit of a legal bind there. So no offense to Porter, whether he's a communist bastard or not. Scott, you have one more letter for us. Would you mind reading that out?
Yes, Daniel. A local flavor, this one. This is from, actually, there's no name on it. They have signed themselves off as Concerned Citizen. Barmaruska. Where is Barmaruska, Daniel?
Scott, I think you'll find that that's in southeast Victoria.
Southeast Victoria?
Yeah.
Okay. And the concerned citizen writes, I am a resident of the Shire of Barmaruska, and it is with great alarm that I note that our council has voted to fully arm our 30 full-time bylaws officers. Since Councillor Alan Forbes, our current mayor was voted into office.
That was a tricky name. Go on.
Since the Mayor Forbes was voted into office a little over 3 years ago, our municipality has gone from one unarmed bylaws officer to the 30 soon-to-be fully armed that we now have. You may wonder why I'm writing in about a local issue, but I fear that under Councillor Forbes, our small southeast Victorian shire, Daniel, you were right, Southeast Victorian Shire.
Thank you.
With barely 1,200 residents, will soon be one of the most militarised local governments in that part of the state, if not all of country Victoria, concerned citizen Barmaruska.
Scott.
What do you make of that?
What do I make of that? What do I make of this? You're asking me? What do I make of it?
Yeah. Yes.
Scott, this is clearly a case of the Swedish piss law gone mad. I think the induction of 30 full-time bylaws officers is just this particular shire's really half-assed way of making sure that blokes are standing up, not standing up in urinals when grabbing a piss. And I think that the militarisation of what is basically a rural council shire is over the top, and I think that this has to be stopped before it starts. And I'll be writing a letter to the editor of The Age while it still exists concerning this matter and letting people know that this is Swedish bureaucracy gone crazy.
Hear, Daniel.
Thank you.
Hear. Nothing to say to that. I think you were using the Swedish piss proposed law as a metaphor for general encroachment. So I think you were not meaning it's all about that, but that is a metaphor, weren't you?
Well, that's a huge part of the discussion. It's got to be.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
I just dropped my running sheet papers, Daniel. Just have to bend down and get them.
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear me.
Back.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I think that's about it, Scott. I don't think there's much more we can add. We're coming up to the 50-minute mark of this particular podcast. So, again, thank you very much for listening. If you want to contact us, you can contact us via our Twitter feed.
Daniel?
Yeah.
Daniel?
Yeah.
Something's just come in into my inbox. I'm sorry. Sorry for the interruption.
Are we speaking metaphorically here? Or?
No, literally. It's just come into my inbox now. Of course, I'm sitting in front of the computer.
Oh, okay.
I normally don't interrupt you. If I do, it's normally accidental due to the time lapse.
Or completely, or completely fucking rude. One of the two. But yeah.
Yes, but now I'm doing it deliberately. I'm deliberately interrupting you. I've just got an email into the letterbox. It's marked in the strict priority is in the subject line. I have a feeling maybe the sender, whoever it was, wants us to read it out before we finish today. What do you think?
Well, usually, Scott, I demand strict editorial control over this podcast. My natural instinct is to be a little bit hesitant in letting this letter go to air. But look. Given that we've got to fill a few more minutes, why not read it out and see where it takes us? Thanks, Scott.
Okay, this is it. Just arrived, anonymous, strict priority. So I'll read it out for you now, Daniel. I've decided to drop you guys a line. I won't tell you my name, but you can be rest assured that I'm the guy who keeps the bastards honest. Not the puppets you see on TV, but the puppet masters behind the scenes. I'm on the verge of something big here. And he continues in the next, or he or she continues in the next paragraph. I can't move yet because I don't want to compromise my sources and I don't want those responsible to catch wind and shred the files, if you know what I mean. But I want you to write this down. Write it down. Watch this space. Signed off with the words anonymous source. So no clue as to who sent that in,
source,
Daniel?
Source is spelled S-O-U-R-C-E.
Yes.
Okay.
Spelled correctly.
Scott, we can't just let that sort of shit go to air. I mean, that could mean fucking anything about anything. Listen, unless they come up with some facts and figures about what it actually is that they're talking about, we can't continue on with this sort of thing. This podcast has got to have a degree of credibility. This is our names on the line here, Scott. And if we're going to air every, you know, Mamsy Pamsy anonymous source about you know, he said she said palaver, we're gonna get ourselves into trouble. Having said that though, I wonder what the fuck he or she is on about.
I wonder again, Daniel, we can't sentiment understood, but we can't discourage anyone from writing in.
That's right. We're all on about free speech, aren't we? We don't like
free
to censor
speech,
we don't like to censor anyone.
No. I hear what you're saying, and I wonder too. Watch this space with the words, Daniel. Perhaps that's what we should do.
Okay, we'll watch this space. But Scott, you know what? I think we've come to the end of our inaugural podcast. I would like to thank you for your time and for your insights. They've been
no problems. Thank you as well.
Yes, they've been very meaningful. Again, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us via @TheSimpletons. This podcast will be available on www.thesimpletons.com.au. You'll be able to link to the RSS feed there. We're going to post it to iTunes as soon as we can. We don't know what the process time is there with that. But again, if you have any feedback or any inquiries for us, please send them to contact@thesimpleton.com.au. Scott, just one final word. Do you see any major events over the next week that our listeners should be alert to?
No.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Scott, and I wish you a good day, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.